Well, thank you for your invitation to come and speak today. It's a great pleasure to be here. Great to have my daughter Alice there as well. Of course, you know Ben, my son. Somebody's already said to me that I have a lot of Ben's mannerisms. Well, I thought I'd just make it clear that actually he has my mannerisms. My identity today is Ben's dad. My topic is grace. And of course, grace is a wonderful subject we're going to be talking about. Malcolm put some notes together for us. And in fact, I printed them out of the back. So if you want some copies of those, please pick one up on the way out and make a great quiet time. Bit about me. Well, I became a Christian in 1983. Wow. I don't like that. That's just, wow, that's a long time ago. It was in May. What can I remember in those days? Well, we met in a hall much like this one, not as glamorous as this, but similar size to this. But there were fewer of us. And this was the beginning of the London church. And there were probably about, I think, two-thirds of this number. And we had great dreams. And just like I said today, we have great dreams too. The amazing thing is that God had great dreams. And God had tremendous plans, exciting plans. And God has great plans for us here today too. That he's going to use us in an amazing way to help so many of our friends, our fellows in our communities, our fellows in our colleges or whatever. It's very, very exciting. And it all comes down really to God's grace. I saw Sonia. I appreciated Sonia sharing. And I remember John, her dad, coming to church, getting baptized in about June. I think I beat him by about a month or so. And of course, Mike. Has Mike preached here? I'm sure Mike has preached here. He got baptized before me, but he was away at school because he was a teenager at that stage. But we were young people, and God had great plans. Yeah. You know, it's exciting for us to think how God has great plans for us. God has plans to do incredible things. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 8, we read, it says, see, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them. You know, it's very exciting here because they're about to go into the promised land, but really it's all about God, what's going to happen. You know, it's important for us to remember that really it's all about God, what's going on. You know, you may be quite impressed with yourself. When I came to university and I went to the Royal Veterinary College and, of course, part of London University. I was in Commonwealth Hall. And now, I know that TJ was in Commonwealth Hall. In fact, we may even have been in a similar room a few years apart. Pretty close. 2-3, somewhere around there. Yeah, 237, I think I was 234, I'm not quite sure, but it was right there. Commonwealth Hall, any other that's Commonwealth Hall as well. And I turned up in London quite impressed with myself. I'd done very well in my A-levels. I thought, you know, I'm going to be a vet and had all these great plans. But of course, God had different plans. And I think over the next year, the main thing that I learned was how much I needed God. You know, I hope today as we're together that, I saw Sue, I hope as we're together that we are here today primarily because we're aware of how much we need God. That, you know, God is really what this is all about and, you know, without God you're really stuck. You know, I was very impressed with myself, but God had to humble me. I was humbled in a number of ways that year. I think my course was, there was more volume of material than I ever dreamed of there being. I remember struggling not being able to sleep. I don't know if any of you struggle with that, and that still sticks with me to this day. But, you know, things happen that really humble you. And you say, why is this happening? And God's allowing it to happen because you need to be humbled so you'll appreciate God's grace. And he says, you know, I've got great plans for you. I want to take you over there. And you say, well, I don't really want to go over there. Actually, I'm quite happy where I am. And maybe you're in a situation today when you say, well, you know, I'm not really sure about really committing my whole life to God. I think it's very hard to really commit your life to God unless you're aware of how much you need God and how good God is. And that's really what we're going to be talking about today. Now, there's a passage that runs very shortly after this one in Deuteronomy, in Joshua. Now, we know, I suspect, that Deuteronomy was written by Moses, and Moses was succeeded by Joshua. And I would rather like to capture the beginning of Joshua as a bit of an understanding for us of grace, in a sense. It says, and how God intends to use us. And just that small group of, you know, a small group of us, Hannah's dad away at school still, Sonia's dad about to come along, Julie probably still wandering around, waiting to get invited, you know, all these things, Hannah's mum. But, you know, things were planned. You know, in Joshua chapter 1, God has plans for Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. You know, I wonder what it was like to be Joshua right here. You know, Moses, my servant, is dead, and he's not coming back. You know, you can't help but wonder if Joshua thought, well, you know, if only Moses could come back, he could really do a great job right now. We need Moses! I'm inadequate! And maybe you feel like that. When you look at yourself and you say, well, I'm just inadequate for the task that God seems to have planned for me. You know, it took me so long to become a Christian. I sometimes think that God had to pin me to the ground and put his foot on my neck for about 6 months before I was humble enough really to be open to God's plan for my life and to really surrender, to surrender my life and let God lead my life. Maybe you're here and you say, well, I'm not really sure about really surrendering this and surrendering that. I just like to come to church. And this looks like a nice, friendly group of people. I just want to be a sort of a churchgoer. I thought that too. Be a churchgoer. Be a good person. But you know, God wants number one place in your life. And if you're not ready to give God number one place, then you cannot follow him. I would have said I was Christian. I said, I'm a Christian. I've been to church a lot. I grew up going to church. But I knew that my career meant more to me than God. Now you ask yourself a bit of a sort of, you know, an honest question. You know, where is God in your list of priorities today? You know, God has to be first. God wasn't first in my life. And I would love to have said I was a Christian. But when I look back, I can see very clearly that I hadn't repented because God was not number one. Verse 3 says, I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. You know, I think this passage is a wonderful scripture on grace right here because he says, look, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you this promised land. But you've got to go and put your foot there. You know, and today, really what we're going to talk about today, I believe, as we talk about grace, is we're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about the incredible things that God has planned for us. But we're also going to talk about the challenges and the costs and the changes that we have to make in order to follow his plans. Another passage that Malcolm put in a sheet for Paris was in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29. And this was very relevant for me, certainly in my walk as I was thinking about being a Christian there. Says, and he's talking there about how these people in the future will drift from me. But then he says in verse 29, but if from there you seek, and the Lord seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all of your soul. You know, how we have to really want to find God. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke. There's a passage which I think relates very much to my life and probably to your life in some ways too, in Luke chapter 19. And it's about a real sinner. So if you're not a sinner right now, you could probably leave and go and get an early tea somewhere. But we're going to talk about Zacchaeus for a little while here. Zacchaeus was just like me, just like you. He was a sinner. Jesus entered Jericho. This is Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Does anybody know where Jesus was on his way to here? Some Bible scholar will tell us. Where was Jesus on his way to here? He was on his way to Jerusalem. What was going to happen in Jerusalem? He was going to get crucified. You know, Jesus was on a one-way ticket right here. You know, you buy your tickets. I bought my ticket today to get here. It has an outward ticket and a return ticket. Jesus was on the outward ticket. Maybe some people thought Jesus had a return ticket. And, you know, in a few weeks' time, Jesus would come back. And Jesus will be preaching again, and maybe that would be their turn. Maybe some of us are tempted with that. We think, well, you know, I'm not really ready to commit myself to God right now. I'm not really ready to deal with these things I know I need to deal with. But I'll do it sometime in the future. I was like that. I used to pray ever so sincerely, God, please, I want to be a Christian, but let me be a vet as well. And sometimes we want to become Christians on our own terms. And we want to live our Christian lives on our terms rather than really being surrendered. You know what happens when you can't really surrender? It's very difficult really to make a lot of progress. Because if God's not number one, then you can't really, you know, you can't really follow. Because other things keep cutting in. And they get in the way of our spiritual progress. You know, let me encourage any of us today who feel like we have plenty of time to put ourselves here in Jericho and to remind ourselves that Jesus, this is the last chance for this young man Zacchaeus to talk to Jesus. This is the last chance. You know, this might be your last chance. This might be your last chance to respond to what God has planned for you, that incredible grace that we're going to be talking about today. Yep. You know, we all think that we're going to live forever. We all think that we're going to live this great long life ahead of us. Especially when we're teenagers. When you're 19, like I was, living in Commonwealth Hall, doing your university degree, dreaming of, you know, chasing horses around and dogs and cats. And I was injecting Ben May's cat last night and I got the needle in myself instead of in the cat. And that's why I got plaster on my finger. But, you know, it's, you have all these plans. But maybe your picture isn't the same as the real picture. You know, I think that was one of the things that really helped me to be serious about becoming a Christian, was when I realized that, you know, life wasn't just this endless sort of thing that I could just count on. Right. And it was only then that I really appreciated that I really needed God. And maybe today you find yourself in that trap and you think, well, I've got all my life ahead of me. And as you picture your great long life ahead of you, there doesn't seem to be a great need for God in that great long life. You do it later. Maybe you do it after you've graduated. Or maybe you do it after you've got settled down into your first job. Or maybe you do it after you've found that man or woman of your dreams and you got married. Or maybe you'll do it after you have children. Or maybe you do it when you're so busy with your children and your children finally leave home and go to King's College to study dentistry. And you'll have lots of time then. Or maybe you think, oh well, when my life's not so busy and I retire and that'll be the ideal time. Or maybe you think, just before I die. And I'll live my life just the way I want to live it. And then the very last minute, I'll commit myself to God at that very last minute. You know, and that's the way sometimes that we think. But you know, God has a great plan for us. And you know, I think sometimes we think that, you know, God's plan is sort of like it's not that good a plan. Do turn there if you want to, but because I might be reading out of some dodgy Bible, but you know. But in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 13, we read, it says, just a quick point here about God's grace. Deuteronomy 10, verse 13. Verse 12, and now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That's what we've just been talking about. And to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. I think sometimes we need to be reminded that actually God has your interests at heart. God has my interests at heart. And those years ago when I was in Commonwealth Hall, I thought, oh, I can't put God first because God's going to wreck my life. I felt like that. Yeah, I've got this amazing life planned and I just really want to follow that. And that's amazing. And if I get too involved and I really repent, then God might lead me somewhere else. And I don't, you know, really mess my life up. You know, that's very much how I was. But you know, the scripture tells us very clearly that God has our interests at heart. You know, what a wonderful thought that is. You know, I lived for a number of years in London. I remember taking Ben to his first church service. We were in East London. I took him in his little car seat. You know, his little car seat. Took him there and put him in. He sat at the front of church and I thought, wow, that's his first church service. And I remember being in, Alice arriving, being in Birmingham and all these places, all these years of going by. And as I look back, you know, I treasure the fact that I became a Christian as a young person. Right. In London.
Yeah. Good point.
You know, if you've had that opportunity to become a Christian and you've become a Christian here in this great city, then what a wonderful thing. And like me, you know, 30 years down the road, you'll look back and you'll say, I'm so glad I did that. Because God has been so good to me. It's, you know, what's so good about being a Christian? Well, it's great to have the relationships that God provides us with. Yeah. You know, I really pray that everybody here feels like they've got maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 people in their life who they can really be open with. I was with Heinrich's brother. I get with Heinrich's brother, Francois, every couple of weeks. And we have our discipling time. And Francois was telling me, you know, I really appreciate my brother Heinrich. Because whenever I have something really difficult in my life, first thing I do is ring up Heinrich. and talk to him about these things. And you know, after talking about them, it just seems so much easier to deal with them. I hope you have people like that. I hope you have somebody in your life that you feel like you can be yourself with. You don't feel like they're going to look down on you, or they're going to judge you, or they're so perfect that they can't relate to you or whatever. But you can just be yourself with them, and just how important that is. What else does God give us? God gives us an amazing purpose. You know, it is a wonderful thing to have a purpose as a Christian. You know, you've got a reason. God has a plan. He's using you to be his ambassador. He's using you to be his light, the example to other people around you each day, tomorrow, the next day, and so on. He has incredible plans, all because of his amazing grace. So here we are, we're in Jericho, and Jesus is passing through. Maybe some people are thinking, oh, he'll be back. We've seen him before. No great rush. Anyway, we read about a particular man. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was very wealthy. Now, who's very wealthy amongst us? Be nice to be very wealthy, you might think. Oh. Now, what's interesting here, Zacchaeus is very wealthy, but we're going to see that he understands that he needs God very, very much. You know, I was talking to a Christian called Francois Skippers, who is in our ministry in Thames Valley. By the way, Thames Valley sends their wishes, their love to the ministry here. And I trust that I can take your love and wishes back to them.
Yeah.
All right, I'll do that. Okay. And Francois was saying, you know, the chairman of my company is very ill with cancer. And all his life, he's been very busy giving people financial solutions to their lives. How they could best invest their money, how they could best do this and that and all this sort of thing. But Francois says, you know, the amazing thing is now, he has no solutions to the really big issues in life. He's had all these financial solutions. He's had all this idea about, this is the way to make money the best you can. But now, he has terminal cancer and life's different. You know, now he has no solutions. He's not ready. You know, Zacchaeus was a bit like that. He was very wealthy. He was a tax collector. Now, tax collectors, as you all know, were a bunch of dishonest sinners. They said, the Roman, you know, authorities say that we want, you know, X number of pounds, but in fact it was X plus, you know, an extra 100 for them. They were always putting up a bit more, and they would keep the extra. So they would collect money and they would give that to the Roman authorities, but then some of the money that they'd lied about, saying that that was how much they would need to collect, they'd say, well, actually they want more than they actually really want. And he's wealthy. You know, it is very sad that so many people get wealthy by exploiting other people. I mean, do you really want that? I mean, today, do you want to get rich by exploiting other people? I mean, is that really what you want? I mean, do you want to be a rich guy driving around Covent Garden, you know, in your Ferrari or something? Do you really want that when you've got that off the backs of other people? Do you really want to be a really rich guy, a real hot shot, when so much of this world is full of so many needy people? Are you really going to get so caught up in that? Is that really what you want? You know, some of us really want to be rich. I would really encourage you to think carefully about that. That's where Zacchaeus is at. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. Now, Zacchaeus has some problems. His problem is he's not very tall. And he's got this massive crowd, and he's trying to get around, and he can't really... Whoa, Jesus, I can't see Jesus! You know, there are always problems about becoming a Christian. You know, we're going to see very shortly that Zacchaeus actually really wants to be a Christian, but there are always sort of physical problems. You know, maybe your family don't approve of your decision, your religious fanaticism, your desire to, you know, to be a Christian. I always respect Chevy, my wife, so much. As, you know, I remember Chevy, as a young, I was so drawn to this when I was, you know, going out on dates and getting to know various sisters in the church, but Chevy's family were so against her becoming a Christian that they disowned her. They said, look, you know, if you're going to leave our, you know, our sort of our established faith that you've grown up with, then we don't want to deal with you, and you can come back when you come back to the true faith. You know, there are always obstacles in the way of becoming a Christian. You know, sometimes there's a relationship, isn't there? There's a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or maybe a prospective boyfriend, a girlfriend. You think, well, if I wasn't a Christian, I could maybe pursue this relationship. Or maybe even as a Christian, you're tempted. And you find yourself thinking, well, if I wasn't a Christian, maybe I could, you know, and it might work out with this person or that person. And help, what's going to happen to me? I'm getting older. And we start to take our eyes off God. Practical problems. And that person seems so perfect. I was talking to somebody recently about choosing a husband, choosing a wife. And they were talking about, isn't it important? What about if I meet somebody who is just the perfect person for me? You know, there are many people who have got married to the perfect person for them, and they're no longer married. Getting God at the center of our lives is such a crucial thing. So anyway, verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. You know, Zacchaeus here had to, you know, it's great when somebody goes to a bit of effort, isn't it? You know, the effort to become a Christian, the effort to meet Jesus takes effort, doesn't it? What would you be doing if you weren't at church right now? Maybe it took you a lot of effort. You had to walk all the way across Waterloo Bridge, or you had to get the tube, or you had to travel here from wherever. It took some effort. And maybe you were tempted to think, well, you know, I don't know if I really want to make that effort. It's a lot of effort to be a Christian. It's a lot of effort to come to church. It's a lot of effort to be committed. I look back to my university days, and I was a bit of a fanatic, really. Even before I became a Christian, I used to go to 3 churches a Sunday. And in the morning, I used to go to All Souls Church on Regent Street. In the afternoon, I used to come to the church that was this church down in Lambeth North. And then in the evening, I used to go to another church. Sometimes I used to go to a church down in near Buckingham Palace. I used to hang around there with, you know, the important people and all these sorts of things. And, you know, it was fascinating. London was such a wonderful place for me because I needed to really get convicted about just going to church wasn't what it was about. It was about really getting close to the Word of God. Commonwealth Hall. There was this guy in Commonwealth Hall. And I spoke to him one day, and he said, I'm a king, he said. I'm studying theology. I said, wow, theology. What are you going to do with a theology degree? He says, oh, I'm going to be a vicar. I thought, whoa. You know, this is, you are a great man. You are ready to do something I would never do. I would never, you know, be that committed. Be careful, by the way, any time you say, I'll never do this, I'll never do that, because may just happen. But this guy, I seen him, he said, I'm a king, so I'm doing theology, and I want to be a vicar. And I said, well, you must have amazing faith to do that. You know, you're ready to just surrender your whole life and use it as a vicar. And he said, oh, no, I don't believe in God. Now, I don't know what your reaction to that is, but I was flummoxed. I was so shocked by this guy. I was horrified. I was like, how can you be a vicar and not believe in God? I mean, how can you do that? And he took offense at me. He said, well, you think I've got to believe in God to be a vicar, don't you? And I said, well, I thought so. Yeah, up to this moment. And he explained to me that that wasn't the case, that actually the role of a priest was to, so to speak, keep a roof on the building so that everybody could come and worship God in their own little way. Oh, I still look back on that as being one of those moments when I really got serious about being a Christian. I thought, I'm not going to just go to some church led by some guy who doesn't even believe in God. I mean, I thought, we used to have our Bible discussion, and this is after I became a Christian, and this guy really hated our Bible discussion in room 234 or whatever it was. And every Monday night, 8:30, we had our Bible discussion. I bet Sonia has her Bible. Sonia and everybody else has their own Bible discussion, just like yours. You know, we had our Bible discussions in Commonwealth Hall, and we used to go around, and sometimes we used to just invite people at dinner. And we'd go around and have a cup of coffee with this person, cup of coffee with that person, and get your sort of first course here and main course here and pudding there, and sort of go around and meet people, and that was really great. And this guy, who was a king's, he used to really take exception to this. And he used to go around and he used to tell people, you know, that guy just talked to you, he's in a cult. He's a weird guy. And initially it really used to bother me because we had a terrible reputation. If you've got a bad reputation, by the way, we had a terrible reputation as well. And Jesus had it even worse. So, you know, I mean, they killed him. So, I mean, you're in good company. It was amazing just how time and time again. But, you know, people did become Christians. I remember the first person I helped become a Christian, he was in, I think he was in room 217 in Commonwealth Hall, Bill McKinney, another vet. And we baptized him down in Bermondsey. We used to do this baptistry down in Bermondsey. And I remember leaving, I thought, well, now my life has completed. This is what I came for. That's it. Now I can die and go to heaven. I've helped somebody become a Christian. It was just so amazing. It's just more than I ever... I mean, to help somebody become a Christian is such a wonderful thing. Yep. I mean, isn't it just an amazing thing? And I remember reaching out to a girl called Sarah, and you can reach out to people anywhere. I was in I probably shouldn't have been there, but I was in a disco. You know, dim moves, you know, and I was... You know, and it was really sort of, you know, dim business. I was a Christian. And a young Christian... Young Christians need discipling, by the way. It's a great idea to get a bit of help. And I was doing my moves, you know, and I invited this girl, Sarah, to come to church. And, you know, it's so exciting. I still see Sarah sometimes. She's a vet. She's a faithful Christian. She became a Christian. And her friend also became a Christian. And then my friend Bill, his friend Andy Frost, who's still a Christian, became a Christian. And it was amazing how God has this amazing plan. You know, you think it's just me deciding to be committed, but it's so much more than just you deciding to be committed. Because God's got amazing plans for you. He's got things planned that you're going to do in the future. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. You know, it's always moaners, aren't they? He stopped swearing, you know, this sort of stuff. But Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. Serious commitment. Not just, well, what have I got to do? You know, a bit like the exams, you know, 51%, is that enough? You know, just pass my exam, just squeak past, you know. He says, no, I'll give back whatever I need to do, I'll do it. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. You know, it's exciting to think there that Jesus simply says to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house. Today salvation has come to our lives. It's given us the opportunity to be Christians. What an amazing privilege.
Right.
I wonder what the future holds, the amazing things that God has planned. He's got things planned.
Right.
He's got it all worked out. And maybe you won't be a vet during some, you know, racehorse practice in Newmarket, but he's got an amazing plan. And God's grace is all about just appreciating how God has incredible plans for each of our lives. Today, let me encourage us all just to really willingly let God lead us and take us where he wants to take us. Thank you very much.